From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we're on the phone for the Fans of Bleed Blue Show. This is the Rink Podcast with Ranger Pride. We're going to talk some playoff matchups today, particularly Phase 3 stuff, Rangers at Carolina Hurricanes, August the 1st at noon, high noon. Should be a duel, should be a shootout. It should be a fantastic start to the Stanley Cup playoff season. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher, and all that other good stuff. Without further ado, bring on the man himself, Ranger Proud, of course, writer for Empire Sports Media, RP on Twitter, and of course, RP on the Facebook page. Arpizzle, what's going on, Ranger Proud? How's everything, sir?
Hey, Steve, how's it going? How's everybody doing? Well?
Pretty good, bro. How's everything? Good?
Yeah, been good. Got a new job. Not a new job, but a new ship. So we've been a little, we've been changing our style and not writing a little bit too much until we get adjusted. But things are going well.
All right. Now, I will tell you, on this episode, I will be playing the devil's advocate. I know you represent everything blue shirts, play like a New Yorker. The New York Rangers, the blue shirts, so on and so forth. I will be taking the Carolina Hurricanes' perspective on how we are looking at the New York Rangers. So that's going to be the angle, not only today, but even next week when we get into the before the exhibition game versus the Islanders and then onward to the playoff game. But also joining the dialogue, Jordan and Lou is with us. Jordan, how you doing? I know you're a big blue shirts fan. How's everything?
Great.
Ready for some hockey?
Yep, of course.
All right.
Let's go Rangers.
Yeah, you always got your game face on. That's what's up. And Lou, what's going on, Lou? How's everything?
Let's get ready to drop a puck and show who's
boss. All right. All right. Now, RP, let's get into some Rangers news. And when it gets to my turn, I'll give the Carolina Hurricanes perspective. Brandon Lemieux has been suspended from what I understand, because this is something you already pointed out weeks ago, a month ago, about since the Colorado game before the end of, before the start of the COVID. If you want to touch on that, but anything else, blue shirt news you want to go through as far as the practices, Phase 3, the Team Hank, scrimmages, all that shebang. And then we'll get Jordan's perspective, Lou's perspective, and then I'll go ahead and get some Carolina Hurricane perspective to add some balance to our playoff matchup.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't a surprise that Lemieux was suspended. The NHL had announced that they would make a decision prior to the qualifying rounds. He had the meeting with player safety right before everything shut down. The two games aren't surprising. It's just the way it kind of unfolded with them. It was a weird play. It wasn't just an interference. It was a little bit nastiness to it, and I wasn't surprised at all. I thought there might have been a chance, because sometimes when you get suspended in the regular season towards the end and then the playoffs start, sometimes they don't penalize you for the playoffs. They do at the beginning of the next regular season. That wasn't the case this time. So the Rangers were prepared for that. They knew it was coming. So they had these extra skaters that are up, Kraftstar, with Terrier, a couple of other guys. So they'll be able to fill his role for the first two games of the playoff the qualifying round. On a happier note, Artemi Panarin had a great season, 95 points, was definitely the leader of the team, and got rewarded today by being named one of the three finalists, along with Leon Draisaitl and, of course, Nathan MacKinnon of the Avalanche for the Hart Trophy for the league MVP. So, for me, the Rangers already won that award. Whether he gets the trophy or not, it just puts a giant capital B for Bredman on top of a great season. It was well-deserved. There were rumors, as we had spoken about, Steve, that he might not be in the Hart conversation a couple of months ago. Some other stories were coming out and all. It was well-deserved. And like I said, whether he actually gets it or not, it just shows what a great season, what a great signing it was, and how he fit right in with this club. So I was really happy to see that announcement that came out earlier today. Very well deserved. Really quick with the Rangers scrimmage with Team Hank against Team Igor and Gorgiev, for that matter, the other night. You know, some of the players played really well. Kako had a decent game from what I read. Ryan Strome scored a couple of goals. Lundqvist and Shesterkin looked very good in goal from everything that I had read about it. The surprise is Vitali Kravtsov had a really, really quiet training camp, Steve. I expected to see him with a little bit more of pop in the skating and a little bit more action and just to hear about him more. We haven't really seen a lot because there hasn't been any television coverage, just little clips from some of the Ranger beat writers that have been posting on social media of plays. But you haven't seen a lot of Kravtsov. I'm hoping he can bring to the ice what we know he can bring because the Rangers are really going to need him now. On the other note, they've been bragging about Kako. He looks faster. He looks leaner. He needed a break, and if anything came out of this COVID shutdown, Kako got that break he desperately needed, and they said he's playing with an edge. He's playing faster. He's playing the kind of hockey in training camp anyway that we're all looking forward to. So, you know, Zibanejad's been on his regular game in Kreider. Buchnevich missed a couple of practices, and, of course, the COVID rumor started with that. But he was back today is Tuesday. He was back at today's practice. So that's good news. You know, they head out soon to go to Toronto. As you said, they have a nice exhibition game against the Islanders next week, 8 o'clock on MSG, which is going to be fun just to see some hockey and talk about it before the real thing starts.
All right, cool. Let's go to Jordan. Jordan, what's your thoughts as far as the Rangers in this Phase 3 session right now? And then we'll go to Lou.
All right. Well, I'm really excited for the Rangers game on MSG, the exhibition game against the Islanders. I hope that they win. And I'm really looking forward to the Stanley Cup playoffs and the Rangers being in it because it's been years since the Rangers were last in the Stanley Cup. I just hope that they can stay healthy and go far in the playoffs now. I think that if the Rangers do win the Stanley Cup this year, though, it's not going to be the same without the fans being there watching, though. I think that it's going to be kind of weird seeing the Rangers play and win the Stanley Cup in front of no one.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add before we go to Lou?
Yeah. I really hope that all the young guys can step up and score really good, especially Kako, Panarin, all the guys, too, that they've been developing. Also, Artemi Kravtsov. All those players, because they're all key players that the Rangers can use to produce good offense with moving the puck and scoring.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. That's a good way to lay it off. Let's go to Lou. Lou, what's your thoughts on the Rangers Phase 3 session before they headed to Toronto in the bubble versus the Hurricanes?
Well, before I heard, I mean, I was up this morning, but when I heard the news about Lemieux being suspended, you know, that kind of like puts a little bit of a damper on us. I mean, the last thing we need is to have, you know, a player's out because of over something stupid that happened 4 months ago, and now he's paying the price for it. I mean, you know, all we've gone through this season, and now we have to have this. You know, every position player is important, whether you're a forward, defenseman, a winger, or whatever. I mean, just one player out to really change how the whole series could go. So, you know, it looks like we're going to be down a man for at least two games. And, you know, that could really, you know, shortchange us in the end. And, you know, I hope I'm wrong, of course. But, you know, it does put a damper on it. And it is going to seem weird, you know, without fans, of course, but that is to be expected. But what's even more strange is that we have to go do it, no matter what we do, it's going to be in Canada. So, you know, even if we do go far, we won't be able to celebrate like in our own backyard. We have to go up north, you know, to celebrate, you know, like if we win the conference championship or the cup itself. You know, it's going to have, like, shall we say, an ominous feeling if we win. I mean, it'd be nice to win at home if they could play here in the States, but, you know, I get the reason why, but it's still going to have a very ominous feeling, you know, the further we go. But, hey, hockey's hockey. I'm ready for it. I don't care what the rest of y'all think, but I'm ready. Let's drop the puck August 1st, and let's go kick some you-know-what.
At high noon.
I'm keeping it clean.
Shout out to Lou. Before we go to RP, go back to RP. RP, looking at it from the Carolina Hurricane perspective, Rob Brindamore been following his conference calls on Zoom and his statements to the media. And he's pretty much been generic. He hasn't really given off or tipped off anything from their practices. He's kind of played the politically correct game as far as the best player is going to play and we're going to have a grinding out type of team. But the thing is, when I look at the Carolina Hurricanes, I don't look at them as a grinding out team anyway. They got, like what we talked about 2 weeks ago, they have great leadership starting with Justin Williams and Jordan Staal. I mean, they got that. I give them that. They're Stanley Cup winners at the top of their locker room. They could really get to the younger players who are really the stars on that team. But as far as Rob Brindamore, man, I think he's really concerned whether he wants to admit it or not. The suspect goalie situation. They have a turnstile at goalie because whether Peter Barzett comes back and he's almost in his prime type of goalie, but he's kind of had his struggles. But then they are also looking at Martin Nikas, an outstanding young goalie from the AHL. So he's kind of looking at it if when to pull goalies, when to use goalies. I think that's more of a concern than our goalie situation. I think he's looking at that particular situation as suspect because, let's be honest, we look at the four games that the Rangers played the Hurricanes this year. They've all been Ranger wins, and all of them haven't even really been that close. Maybe one or, you know, a couple periods, you know, there's been some tight hockey. But, you know, the two games at the Garden and the two games in Raleigh, the Carolina Hurricanes really haven't really pushed the Rangers in those four games. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's going to translate into these, you know, this five-game playoff series. We talked about this before where Justin Williams said it's the same situation happened with them in the Capitals. The Capitals owned them in the regular season, and then they ended up winning in seven in D.C. So I say this to say as far as David Quinn versus Rob Brindamore, I know you're very familiar with the career of Rob Brindamore and his head coaching, but and also the players, the star player, Sebastian Aho, as you already know, you know, in the four losses, I mean, he still kind of, you know, got his. He had three goals, including a power play goal. I mean, this is a guy, obviously, how are the Rangers going to defend Sebastian Aho? How would you attack that particular Carolina Hurricane RP? And then also from the Rangers side, what do the Hurricanes have to worry about?
The Hurricanes have a lot to worry about from that side, but to answer your question on Aho, you have to hit him. He's 22 years old.
Yeah.
He's fast. He's got a lot of skill. The Rangers have the defenseman. Trouba's going to have to pound him. Fox going to have to pound him. The Rangers can be very aggressive on the blue line side. Let's remember, the Rangers have nothing to lose here. The playoffs turn out to be sort of gravy for them, and I think they're going to just come out and be as aggressive as they can. I love the way their training camp has gone. Because it wasn't a training camp. Quinn said it. This isn't a training camp. It's just getting the guys back on the ice. He knows who their top guys are. He knows the team that he had before the shutdown. And those are guys that he's been playing hard during the during this new training camp. And he was even asked about that earlier. You know, certain guys haven't been getting a lot of ice time, haven't been getting a lot of looks. And Quinn flat out said, this isn't a training camp. This is getting a reacquaintance with each other. I know what I have. I know what I want on the ice, and those are the guys that he's going with. It isn't like in September when you're kind of feeling guys out, you have a couple open positions. He's a very prepared coach, and he knew once his training camp started that his core players, Kreider, Zibanejad, obviously Panarin, Strom, these guys need to find their groove that they had in March. And if they do, I think they're a real dangerous team. I think Carolina knows that. and Carolina possibly have their hands full. The Rangers definitely have the edge with every goaltender they start. Just, it's really going to be Chesterkin or Lundqvist. Probably Chesterkin, but Quinn's going to have a little bit of pressure on him to start Hank. And it's going to be, you were saying about changing goalies for Carolina, that's going to be with any of these teams. This is a five-game series. Game one is huge. Game one is really important to get out of the way. For a team that wins, they're going to be flying high. For a team that loses, now do you think about changing your goalie? Do you think about making a big move? Because you're not going to have that many opportunities to correct whatever is wrong in game one. So there's a lot of pressure on both sides and on both teams. But I think the Rangers' style of play, Adam Fox has just been playing outstanding. Him and Lindgren are a great tandem on the blue line. They both know how to feed off each other. And then you have the other side, Steve. Brady Shea's got something to prove. Mm-hmm. He's only played 7 games with the Hurricanes before, following the trade from the Rangers. And then the shutdown happened. So he really doesn't know his team yet. There's a lot of learning curve going there, too. You know he's going to have a little extra jump in a step to prove the Rangers wrong for trading him. It's going to be a really even series. I don't think the regular season should be taken into consideration at all. That was so long ago. Things change. Even if they would have played the whole 82-game season, you can't look at the regular season because it's a different animal once you start the playoffs.
No.
It's going to take 19 wins to get a cup, and the Rangers are going to have to find 3 wins right off the bat.
That is true. Let me ask you this, because that was actually one of the points I was going to bring from the Carolina. And before we go to Jordan, I want to go back to you, RP, about Brady Shea. Do you believe, and this is probably going to be a question for Jordan and Lou as well, do you believe, RP, in the Trojan horse theory, since you brought up Brady Shea, a guy who was supposed to be the lead defenseman before Jacob Trouba was signed from Winnipeg? Do you believe, because Brady Shea is really recently new, it's not like he's been in the entire season. I mean, he knows our roster. He knows what we like to do anyway. He knows pretty much a lot of our strengths and our weaknesses. Well, how do you take that into consideration as far as game preparation or just him knowing what we like to do?
I think since there's been such a long layoff, I think the Hurricanes know everything about the Rangers and the Rangers know everything about the Hurricanes. It's been about 60 days since they announced the new playoff format and that we would be playing the Hurricanes in a qualifying round. If it was a regular season that jumped right into the playoffs, a lot of Brady Shea's info probably would be beneficial because they would know more of him and he'd be able to, to let them know what our organization is like. But there's been so much time from when the qualifying rounds were announced to when this game is going to be again on August 1st. So I think teams with video nowadays probably know more. They probably have so much more information that we can even imagine about every player, their style of play, what they like to do in a penalty kill, what they like to do in the defensive zone, up a goal, down a goal. They've had so much time to study. I don't know if Brady Shea playing with the Rangers for 300 games is going to be that much more an advantage for the Carolina Hurricanes just because there's so much time to review and study. They've known so long that they were going to be playing each other. So I don't think that as much as a factor is that Shea is just going to come out trying to prove the Rangers organization wrong for signing him and then trading him. To me, he sort of put himself in that position. You and I have spoken about it. He just didn't play as well and at the level everyone thought he should be playing at. So now, look, for that matter, Fox has a lot to prove because Carolina traded him because he refused to sign with them. So there's a lot of those little storylines that are going to take off in a quick series.
All right. Let's go back to you, Jordan. Any additional thoughts as far as what we were saying as far as Brady Shea, now a Carolina Hurricane, and, of course, Adam Fox, a Ranger. You had those little stories going on, and then even going back to the Carolina Hurricanes perspective, they even executing trades before the COVID hit, like Vincent Trocheck as well, adding him to the mix. I know there's not a lot of experience there, but going back to the Blue Shirts, if you want to, if you want to touch on the Carolina Hurricanes, that's fine, but what about your thoughts? Because you mentioned Kako, what you want to see out of him, and RP kind of reiterated what's going on in Phase 3 with him. Panarin, how big you think he's going to play August 1st, starting August 1st, and so on and so forth. Any players you'd like to reiterate, and then we'll go to Lou.
Well, I will say this. I really think that if those young guys like Kako show up, and I think K'Andre Miller also has potential to be good too, who was also drafted as a young guy. I also think that Crab Soap will be good too, like I said, and I also think that it was good that the Rangers also signed defenseman Jacob Trouba, because he can really shoot and score as well. I believe he shoots right, and they got him from the trade with Winnipeg. So and of course. The Rangers really needed to shore up their defense, so I'm glad that the Rangers got Jacob Trouba, because he's really good. That's the kind of defenseman the Rangers needed. Also, he's also very gritty as well. I think that that in my personal opinion, when the Rangers had Shattenkirk, he was good at first, but after a while he turned out to not be. He began to be a disappointment. So that's why they got rid of him, and now he's with Tampa Bay. But I think that if Trouba, Artemi Panarin, K'Andre Miller, Krabsov, and all those young guys step up, I really think that the Rangers, have the potential to beat the Carolina Hurricanes in this first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, especially in the qualifiers, because if all those guys step up, then the Rangers can prove to be a really dangerous team. And not only that, the Carolina Hurricanes were never a good team. I already ate.
Oh, anything else you want to add? You're good. Hello?
Am I up?
Agent Jordan. All right. I don't know what happened to Jordan. Go ahead, look far away, then I'll counter.
All right.
Go ahead,
well, I'm glad they did direct. Well, just like what Jordan was indicating, that, Shattenkirk, he did start out well, but then he just, fell flat like that. So with him gone, because if he was going to still play, I was being a little bit skeptical about that. I get skeptical about certain players that start to fall off. But Kako and Trouba, they were our star players of the beginning of the year, and they show potential for the Rangers. And Kaga was the number two pick overall in the draft last season, and I think for good reason. I mean, it really stepped up the Rangers' offense. But Jordan said they do have to work on defense. Yeah, the defense is a little shaky right now. But, of course, now we can just throw everything out the window, because now we're going to the playoffs time, and we really need to see how the young guys step up. Experienced players that usually do come through. Go ahead, Jordan.
All right, hold on, Jordan. We'll come back to you. Let Luke finish real quick, and then we'll go back to Jordan. Go ahead, Luke. Finish away.
The new players are the ones that really step up to show what they're made of, so they can carry this team far into the deeper rounds of the playoffs. So I'm really counting on our rookie players to pull us through. Okay, Jordan, go ahead.
Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, so sorry about that. Steve. So like I was saying, I think that if all those players like Jacob Trouba and K'Andre Miller step up, and also Krabsov and Panarin, and I think all the young guys that are now on this Rangers team, they can really proved to be a dangerous team. Like I said, Carolina, on the other hand, was never a good team, and Carolina is a mess. And I think that I don't see anything much coming out of Carolina. So I don't even think that they even stand a chance against the Rangers. I really think that the Rangers can really show Carolina again what they're made of. And I really don't think that this will be a cakewalk for the Hurricanes. Now I'm not saying that it's going to be a cakewalk for the Rangers either, but I really do think that the Rangers can have the potential to pull off a string of wins against the Hurricanes, but everybody's got to work to do their part, especially that those guys that I mentioned, Truba, K'Andre Miller, Crab's Toe, Panarin, all those young guys. If that happens, then it's going to be an easy win.
Man, you Ranger fans you guys are really cocky, man. You know, very confident, maybe not so cocky, but the Carolina Hurricanes, man, let me tell you, man, let me go back to Mr. Ranger Proud on this, man, because as a Carolina Hurricane, man, let me tell you, man, the blue shirts, you know, when we played you guys, we shot a lot of pucks against you guys, even Lundqvist and Net in half of those games. 45 saves, 42 saves, you know. So we're going to bring the fire. This is what we do. We do it to every team in the league. We're one of the top five teams in just on shots. And the thing about it is the Rangers give up the second most shots in the league. And if you want to look at it as far as defense, the Rangers' defense as far as defense, total defense, is pretty much subpar. We're talking about retaining the pucks. We're talking about blocking shots, things like that. So in the five game series, that I know that the Rangers had their success versus us, the games in November, December, and February, the two games at the Garden in particular, it wasn't close. I'll give you that. You know, that's the regular season, like Mr. Ranger Prowl said. But I'm looking at this as when I'm looking at the Rangers and I'm the Carolina Hurricanes. I look at the way we do our offense as far as flipping the puck and really, really getting deep to play chase, because I know the athleticism of the Rangers defensemen. I know they can skate. I know Ryan Lindgren can skate. I know Adam Fox can skate, but they are young, all right? Talented, but young. If we catch a couple of lucky bounces of the puck against the backboard and we retain possession of the puck, we'll even add a couple of forechecking to this thing, because the Rangers are not really a physical team. This could be an interesting series more than people are giving us. And then, of course, we look at Mark Stahl. I know Ranger Proud loves Mark Stahl, but Mark Stahl is a little up there in age, and you know we haven't played in a while. So we're going to take our athleticism on our top line and go up against him and Tony D'Angelo if Tony D'Angelo and Stahl are going to be pairing. So, Mr. Ranger Proud, I ask to you, as far as Carolina, we have the offense. We have the shots on goal that's really going to keep the Rangers at bay. But are we playing into the Rangers' hands that way? Do the Rangers kind of like that game? Because if the shots on goal and we rely on our goaltending heavily to stop pucks, and we could turn those shots on goal to blocks and turn it the other way, and it could bite us in the ass. So, Mr. Ranger Proud, how do you look at the Carolina Hurricanes attacking the defense, the defensemen, the blue line of the blue shirts?
Well, I don't think that you take the Rangers blue line lightly, just based on the season that they had. And I'm not saying it's going to be an easy series. I'm the one who's thinking it's going to be five games. I think it's going to be it's playoff hockey. Whether there are fans in the stands or not, all these players and all these teams wanted to compete for a Stanley Cup and knew what they were getting themselves into. I think the guys are going to be able to put that aside for the most part. The first game might be a little awkward. First period will definitely be a little awkward. But I think that the Rangers defensively are getting a little underrated. I think D'Angelo, Fox, Lindgren, Smith was playing really well at the end, Stahl and Truba. This is a team that – these guys were part of the team when they were the hottest team in the league leading up to the shutdown. The whole team gelled on both sides, you know, offensively and defensively. So I have trouble with Carolina gets a lot of shots on goal. Absolutely they do. And that's why the Rangers have Shesterkin and Lundqvist. And Gorgiev, though I don't think he's going to get much playoff time. I think it's between – Hank and Igor, personally. So I don't think what happens is, especially when you have one of those two guys in net, yeah, you're going to give up some more shots because you're going to take some more chances because you know who's standing tall behind you in goal. And I think that leads to better offense. I think the Rangers are going to come out being really aggressive. And The other thing, Steve, as good as Carolina is, I don't know, I kind of feel like Zibanejad and Panarin and these guys are kind of getting stepped aside and not getting the respect they deserve. The Rangers have a balanced scoring team, and we've discussed this for the first time in years. Their top two, three lines are really strong. Any of them could score goals at any time. Kako, Strom, Philip DiGiuseppe was playing really well. Gauthier was playing really well. Their fourth line is strong to keep Carolina's top guys at check. So as great as Carolina was playing, the Rangers were playing better when they shut down. Now, can they find that right away? Every team's looking for that right away. That's going to be the difference. No team can come into this and come out flat. But I don't think that the Rangers are getting much respect because it's the Carolina Hurricanes, and they were in the playoffs when the shutdown started. They were only a couple of points ahead of the Rangers. There was a lot to it. And I'm not talking just about the four wins that they had over Carolina. I just truly believe the Rangers are the team that can skate with these guys, all the team that can compete with the Hurricanes. And I think they can beat them in a five-game series. You talk about having the hot goalie at the right time, and I think the Rangers have two of them. I think Lundqvist is playing with a chip on his shoulder, knowing this might be his last playoff in the blue sweater. And Shesterkin's lived up to every test that he's been hit with. Even though when we played 12 games, we all knew when he was in net, he was going to make those big saves. He's a cocky kid, he's a confident kid, and he's a really good goaltender. And I think Carolina may not even know how to handle if Shesterkin's in net, because the guy just plays without any fear. So I don't – both teams have great players, but I think the Rangers have a little bit of an edge. I think Panarin's going to come out on fire, leading the team like he always does, and that means Strom's going to play better. And we already know how the Zibanejad, Kreider, Buchnevich line can play. And if Kako was arrested and he steps up, these guys are going to have their hands full with the Rangers. They're going to play against a team that has nothing to lose. They're not even supposed to be here. In October, we want to talk them playoff hockey. And now, come August, you're in the playoffs. So this is all gravy. And I think that makes the Rangers a dangerous hockey team.
Yeah, and I will have to give it to you, Ranger Pro. I think top to bottom, the Rangers, top six or top nine, are just better than the Carolina Hurricanes. However, speaking from the Carolina Hurricanes' perspective on this, devil's advocate angle that I'm going with, I will give it to you. You know, Panarin and Zibanejad, you know, I would even think they're slept on. I just think, like you said, they were playing the hottest hockey. Maybe people did forget about that. We wouldn't forget about that because this is the team we follow. This is our squad. But I would say, you know, Shnetikov and Aho and Teravainen, you know, these guys are not the top line of the Rangers, but they're not chopped liver either. So I would say Ryan Strom, no Brandon Lemieux for two games. Defensively, they have to account for us as well. They have to account for us. And I know, you know, I go back to the four games, and it was really not that close. But I just think there's some loopholes in there with the young defenseman that we may try to get, especially behind that one low slot between the goalie and the defenseman, where you can really get into position and maybe we can ring up a couple of goals versus the Blue Shirts. And if we're going to win it, it's not because the goalies gave up bad goals. It's probably because the young defensemen really want to try to take advantage of them, not because of their athleticism, but just the lack of a playing experience in the playoffs, even if it is no crowds or not. But let me ask you this, RP, before we go to Jordan and back to Lou, because, you know, I look at even one of the games, I think it was the third game, where there's a whole bunch of sloppy penalties, and this is the point from the Carolina Hurricanes perspective I'm giving, because you had those tripping penalties with Chris Kreider and Brendan Lemieux, Ryan Strom, with a hook in, I think that was the order in one of those games. But the Rangers' penalty kill was so good. It's hard because we're not watching practice. We haven't seen any games. But how do you look at if the Rangers get a little sloppy because they haven't played against live? No, none of these teams played in live competition. What are we going to see in a situation where you might see some cheap penalties and we get in the power play for the Hurricanes come on and we have to go into a penalty kill? You know, what if you see, Dougie Hamilton, Aho on Justin Williams, the first power play unit for the Carolina Hurricanes, You think our special teams, how do you see the power play offensively and the penalty kill defensively, you know, if we have to go into the penalty box? How do you think that's going to happen, you know, based off what you, you know, the players on the blue side and also the Hurricane side before we go to Jordan?
Well, I think the power play is the harder one to visualize how it'll work. The Rangers' power play has always been up and down. Specialty teams, especially in the playoffs, is huge. Their penalty kill has to be top notch. They have to come out of the gate killing penalties off. Because let's be realistic, they're going to take penalties. Whether they're lazy penalties, good penalties, whatever you want to describe them as, the Rangers are going to be shorthanded. So the penalty kill has to be out of the gate, top of the league, and get the job done. Power play is another story. Sometimes the power play looks like it's the greatest thing in the world, and you can see the same five guys that can't get the puck in the corner. So coming after this long break, I'm sure they're working on it in the practices. They haven't, you know, they know what they're supposed to do. It's just a matter of if they can execute it. They the same thing that they were doing before the shutdown, they're going to come back doing that. They got us to where they were. It's just a matter of if they can find that chemistry again. It's probably what all the teams thinking the same thing. And really quick, regards to no fans in the stand, I think that favors the Rangers. Mm-hmm. I think Shesterkin, if he plays in a game, and he's not going to have that pressure of the fans, he's not going to have that pressure of traveling to Carolina for two or possibly three games. He's not going to have the just being tired of traveling back and forth. So I think that favors a younger goalie going into his first playoffs. You don't have all that pressure. You don't have the fans on your ass. You don't have the fans yelling and booing. I think that helps him focus. I think that's going to help Lundqvist focus. This is just going to be good old-fashioned 5-on-5 training. Pond hockey, if you really think about it. There's no one there but the players and the coaches. It's going to be interesting, but I don't know how it will affect special teams. I don't know where you're going to have that momentum. The players are going to have to find ways to motivate themselves. You know, 3-2 in the third period, you get a power play with 3 minutes to go. You're not going to have that home crowd cheering you or that road team booing you. That's something that no one could, no matter how they try to prepare, you're not going to know until you're actually in game situation.
And my thoughts as far as we look at the weakness of the defensemen of the blue shirts, the inability, especially when it's in the defense mode, getting back on defense, kind of losing track of the puck, maybe losing off on a Carolina forecheck. But Dougie Hamilton for the Carolina Hurricanes, and he had it a little up and down with the injury bug. Jacob Slavin, who's actually a very good player, a very good defenseman player. What about the Rangers not, you know, keeping an eye out on those guys? Because those guys could offensively score like the Giants. The Rangers offensively could score. Like we talk about Tony DeAngelo's offensive game. Adam Fox has shown some sparks because they make up for the lack of defense as a unit, but they could bring it as far as, you know, shots from the point, just like the Carolina Hurricanes. So defending Dougie Hamilton, RP, defending Jacob Slavin, if you're not focused on Sebastian Aho in that top line, or even Jordan Staal and Justin Williams as well, whether they're on the second or third line or alternating versus their physical lines. Well, how you look at that as far as defending their offensive punch from their defensive unit?
I think you got to do it as a five-man unit. Everybody's got to come back. The center has to play two-way hockey. These guys are gonna are really talented, and you're not gonna be able to do it if everybody isn't doing their job. And the one thing David Quinn's preached all year is, you know, the center coming all the way back and helping the defensemen, everybody back checking, everyone picking up their men, keeping the gaps on defense small. This way, you don't give them enough room to get around you and get good scoring opportunities. Defense is all five guys. It's not just the blue liners. And that's even more prevalent now with the guys that you just mentioned. And I think I'm sure they've been working on that in training camp. I'm sure they've been working on that. They were working on that during the regular season before the shutdown, and that's how you stop them. Everybody, it's a unit.
All right. Jordan, anything else you'd like to add? As far as what about Mika Zibanejad? We haven't really shown him a lot of love on this episode. What's your thoughts as far as him? He had an amazing season going into COVID, and do you think that's going to carry over into this five-game series in Toronto?
Well, I always liked Mika Zibanejad. He's always been one of my favorite players. At first, when he came over to the Rangers, he was a maybe, but I think that now he has really solidified his position with the Rangers, and I think that he will also be a key part in the Rangers also doing well and winning the series against the Carolina Hurricanes, because he's a really good player.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add, or any questions for Lou or RP or myself?
Yeah. So what do you think about them, you know, starting their other goalie, because I really think that they need to give him a chance, Shayestrikin, because I really think that they always start Henrikum so much, and I think that they never give their other goalie a chance, and not only that, I know that, you know, Henrik has always, you know, stated publicly that he wants to remain with the Rangers through the rebuild. But, you know, he's really getting old, and I don't think that he's ever going to win a Stanley Cup in New York. I think it's just safe to say that pretty soon he might just have to retire and just hang up his skates, because he's still good, but now that he's getting older, he's not the same goalie anymore that he once was when he was younger.
All right, we'll go to Lou. Lou, you have a goalie preference for this five-game series? That's from Jordan's question. Then I'll go and go back to RP.
No, I would stick with Lundqvist. I mean, he's been here before. He's a veteran player, and he always seems to manage how to come through, you know, when it really, really counts. I mean, he did take us to the 2014 Stanley Cup final, whatnot, and you were mentioning that, say that the Rangers are kind of cocky. No, I just think we're showing a bit more confidence going into this series. I mean, not really by anything cocky, or as someone would call it, stuck up. That's the term I would use. I just think that, you know, we're feeling, you know, a bit more confident coming in. And Zibanejad was phenomenal, especially in the later part before the you-know-what came along. And, you know, scoring goals. And, you know, it looked like he was, you know, becoming a powerhouse for the team. And, you know, if we didn't have the shutdown, who knows what he could have done. He could have maybe some more goals, and we would have got a lot more wins and put ourselves into a better position. But, you know, let's see what we can get. And, you know, I like this. I like what he's done in the past season. He can really carry us through. But, of course, Lundqvist does have to stay in his game. He is getting older. I wouldn't give up on him just yet if we don't go, say, to the second round, past the second round. But, you know, he is running out of chances. I think within the next, 2 to 3 years, if he doesn't get anything done, I think he's going to have to hang it with skates. But I'm still having hope for the guy. I mean, he is a great goaltender nonetheless. All right, so he's not Mike Richter, but there's only one Mike Richter. I mean, we're never gonna see that in this, in probably in our lifetime. I mean, that was phenomenal. But, you know, in his own right, Lundqvist, you know, has hung in for this long, and I think he's got still some stuff left in him. So don't give up on him so quickly.
Yeah, I was gonna say that I really still think though that it's really quite obvious though that he's not going to win the Stanley Cup in New York. I know that the reason why he even started out with the Rangers and became their starting goaltender was because he wanted to bring a cup to New York, but as the years go by and the older he gets, I just think that it's just very clear cut that he won't win the cup in New York. I know so many Rangers fans keep saying, oh, can we get him a cup, please? But I really think that the Rangers window, you know, has really begun to close with him. I think his best chance for them to win the cup was when they went all the way to the Stanley Cup final that back in 2014 against the Los Angeles Kings, which was their first Stanley Cup appearance in over 25 years, but they still didn't manage to win it. So thank you very much. And now, even since then, since they failed to win and came short, now it's still that the Rangers haven't won a cup since 1994 was the very last time that the Rangers ever won the Stanley Cup. Their arch rivals across the Hudson River won it three more times after the Rangers. If you remember, the Devils, they won it in 1995, 2000, and 2003. So, the Rangers have been long overdue. They really need to win another Stanley Cup again.
All right, cool. Let me answer that real quick because I know pressed for time, and also we have also next week to really cover particular matchups, one-on-one matchups in the neutral zone, blue lines, and in transition and all that, situations from the game tape we're going to get into. But let me say this as far as the goalies. I mean, heading into COVID, Shesterkin was the guy. He was the hot guy in net, and things kind of changed 4 months later. I would still think he's still in net. Unless otherwise, I'm not seeing anything in practice. If RP wants to speak on that, but if Shesterkin does struggle, you still have Hank to lean on. So I think that's kind of going to be the rotation from the blue shirt side. Even with that said, I still believe our goaltending situation is a lot better than the Carolina Hurricanes. Like I said at the start of this episode, RP, what about you, man? Do you have a preference who you want to see in net? And before we go around for final thoughts after that.
You know, I don't have a preference. The hottest goalie should be playing. Whoever has the better so-called training camp. Shesterkin was named the number one goalie towards the end of the season. He deserved it. He was playing well. But Hank, you know, definitely you may have an advantage putting Lundqvist in goal because he's definitely going to have a chip on his shoulder to try to get this done one last time. I think whatever goalie he starts is going to have a real short leash, especially in a five-game series, unless, you know, it's a great game, you know, an overtime loss, something like that. But if one of these goalies, you know, get a five spot or a four spot put up on them and the Rangers lose, you might see Quinn look to change things up right away. He's not going to have that much time to think about it. So I would say you go whoever you think is the hot goalie at the time, that's who you start and that's who you go with. And that's why he's the coach. He has to make those decisions.
And go back to you, RP, before we go to Jordan and Lou for final thoughts, and then you for final thoughts, and then we'll wrap up. I'll say this is a concern for the Rangers, how I look at it. If I'm the Carolina Hurricanes and we are pretty much a fresh new season with one exhibition game, I'm going to use speed, blowing through the zones. I'm going to make Ryan Strong. I'm going to make Chris Kreider. Oh, Brandon Lemieux is not there, so whoever's going to step up in his place, Philip Hedel, a lot of these guys who are the second and third line type of guys, I'm going to force these guys to make decisions and pick them in, and they're going to have to react real quick because some of these penalties may get called, like we said. And if you want to look at of a short history, go back to the start of the 2019-20 season before it got canceled. We were hot at the right time heading into COVID. But my whole thing is the Rangers didn't have such a great start. So it's really hard to predict or see or foresee what Rangers team we're going to see come out, because they didn't really have the fastest of starts. They had to dig themselves out of a hole just to get back into the position where they're in. Like you said, they were on the outside looking in. So, RP, the importance of the, you know, every shift. I mean, how, if you could reiterate not drawing penalties and staying out of the penalty box, or you know, having that special team advantage so you could create momentum, and then just getting back and being on your assignment, doing your job. If you could reiterate that point, especially versus the Carolina Hurricane, who may have a chip on the shoulder, because I think, if anything, I think people are writing them off because they're saying, well, the Rangers had their number this season.
Oh, look, like I said earlier, I'm not, the regular season's so far away that doesn't matter now at all. I think the start is everything, and I think all these teams are in the same spot. Everybody wants to come out flying on all cylinders. I tell you, that Ranger Islander exhibition game is more than an exhibition game, because it's going to be the only time these guys get to get some sort of chemistry back and some sort of groove before it really matters 2 days later. I think that you may not know who the starting goalie is going to be after that exhibition game. It might give Quinn and the coaching staff a little bit of realization of how a goaltender looks when he's not just taking shots from his own players for the last month like they've been doing. And, look, you got to trust the coach. He got the team from where they were. Yes, they didn't win a lot of games early on, but it took the season for them to develop. And the funny thing about it, Steve, is that's how you want it. You want to be hot the second half of the season. You don't want to be hot in October, November, December, because all you can do is lose after that. The Rangers got hot at the right time. If the regular season would have finished, I think the Rangers would have made the playoffs. I think Panarin would have had 100 points. I think Zibanejad would have scored his 50 goals or come damn close to it. And now Zibanejad said it best the other day. They're coming into this to win the whole damn thing. They're not coming in to say, oh, we made the playoffs, that's good for us, and whatever happens, happens. They have a goal like every other team. But the Rangers have a lot to prove without much to lose, because they weren't supposed to be here. So I just say, you know, ride it out and see what happens. And whatever goalie starts, just have the faith that he can get the job done.
Right on. Let's get some final thoughts from Jordan and Lude and RP and myself. Jordan, give us some final thoughts. We'll get back to this next Tuesday before the exhibition game versus the Islanders. But your final thoughts as we're looking at this playoff match at Rangers and the Hurricanes.
Yeah, well, like I said that before, time and time again, all the young guys got to step up. That's the only way that the Rangers will prove to be a dangerous team throughout this series and also in the playoffs as well. Because I've said this in the past too, over these past couple of years when they were rebuilding and even before that, that the Rangers defense was sucking, so that was the main reason why the Rangers had been struggling. When your defense stinks, that's why your team struggles. When you have good defense, then your team doesn't struggle. The Rangers need to you know, have a good defense and be there in front of the net and block shots and help their goalie out, because especially Henrique, because, you know, he's, like I said, he's getting older, and a lot of times during a lot of games, Henrique is always standing on his head, and that can't always be. So the Rangers defense has got to help their goalie out, especially when he's in that's another way that they can win, because otherwise, if they don't, they for sure won't win.
All right, thank you very much, Jordan, on giving us some insight on the hockey on the Blue Shirts. Appreciate that. And Lou, give us a final thoughts as well before we go to RP on RP's final thoughts. Go ahead, Lou.
Well, defense, of course, is key, very very much, and they really had to step on their defense, which was kind of startled throughout the season. They did start to pick it up more towards the end, but they had to keep it up. And, of course, the Rangers got to step up. Anything can happen in a five-game series, especially since that nobody has played in the last 4 months. And we really don't know what's going to, you know, occur. I mean, some teams might be might pick up where they left off and stay hot, but they can just fall off. So, you know, it's anybody's race this year, considering what the season we've had. But, you know, the Rangers, you know, have shown since the mid part of the year that they are a dangerous team, and they're not to be taken too lightly, especially if Lundqvist can keep the puck puck out of the net. So this is not going to be an easy series by any means. But I think I might give the Rangers a slight edge in this series. Like you said, with no crowds in the stand, it might be a better advantage for the Rangers, and I'm going to hold you to that. So I think this could be very, very interesting. Now all I got to do is wait for August, and we're going to get ready to drop the puck, and we may be the surprise team. So watch out, everybody. Here come the blue shirts.
All right. Cool, man. Lou, thank you very much. Shout out to Lou on his final thoughts. RP, man, articles coming from Empire Sports Media. Anything you'd like to say? I mean, we've been talking about it for months. We needed to see hockey. We got the hockey back. Your final thoughts, RP. And I know we're going to have a lot to talk about next week when we get further deeper into playoff matchups.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a good run. It's going to come down to goaltending, defense, and offense. They're going to have to play the same way they played leading up to the shutdown. It's five-man units, everybody back-checking, everybody on the offensive side. And, you know, Quinn's going to have to really coach his first playoff games here, and he's going to have to be better than the other team because Brendan Moore's going to have his games ready. These guys are playing with a chip on their shoulder. Everyone knows they didn't want to play with the Rangers in the first round, but, you know, that was 2 months ago, and now they've accepted it, and they're going to come out flying. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to the Ranger-Islander game, just to see the guys get back on the ice and get acquainted with each other again and see if they can find that chemistry really fast. And then, you know something? It's 19 wins to win the Cup this year, so you got to take them one game at a time.
You know, RP, I think we should go on next Wednesday after that Islander-Ranger game. Jordan Lou, want to join us? We can talk about it. Let's talk about real game action, what we see. I mean, it don't count, but we can at least get an idea of, you know, how they did. I want to see it. I really want to react to an actual some sort of game, kind of like how we did these MLB games. What do you say, RP? You want to do this next Wednesday instead of next Tuesday, right after the Islander-Ranger game?
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, man, it makes a lot more sense. Yeah, it's perfect because they play at 8 o'clock next Wednesday. Perfect. So that game will be over by 10 o'clock-ish, 10:30-ish.
10-ish, yeah. This game's going to go fast, I think.
Right. Absolutely. The game will go by fast. That'll be perfect. And then also the Capitals would have played the Hurricanes at 4:30-ish around earlier that day. So I will be scouting soft scouting the Carolina Hurricanes just to, you know, compare those notes on what they did in their exhibition versus what we do against the Islanders. I think that makes a lot more sense. So we'll make that happen next Wednesday. So we'll be back in 8 days, not 7. Cool. Well, for Lou and for Jordan and, of course, for RP, myself, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Podcast Republic for this episode of the Ring Podcast with Ranger Pride, the Phase 3 and the matchups. Looking forward to the hockey. You know, RP, we got to get some playoff predictions, too. We may have to do that next week, man. You know, we'll just, you know, no heavy breakdown. Just pick a team who's going to win the series. You know, are you, RP and Jordan, are you guys going to watch the entire exhibition games next week, or y'all just going to focus at the 8 o'clock game next Wednesday?
I'll be working, so
I'm going to try to record some of this. I'm going to try to record some of this. All right, cool. We'll figure it out, man. At least the Rangers don't play like at noon or nothing on a Tuesday. I think they did that right. They know the NHL knows that, you know, they want to, you know, Islanders and Rangers in a primetime slot. They know what they're doing. There's no way you would put them at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday or a Tuesday, you know, where people are, you know, commuting on the turnpike or the expressway, FDR, the subway or something. It's a smart plan, man, or LIE, whatever, man. All right, Sandre Asu, ladies and gentlemen, Glee Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.